Welcome, welcome, welcome to Pocketoy, the one and only podcast that has been purchased by a no-name investor and who's taking out their very divorced reality out on our show that we've been having fun and enjoying for 12 years. And also, yeah, it sucks.
Do you ever think about how, like, they just keep talking about how the future is these Tesla cars and the metaverse, and then you see all the Tesla cars exploding and killing people, and the metaverse looks like we made like Biohazard on Nintendo 64, a VR game.
PlayStation Home on Nintendo 64.
Yeah, PSX Home.
Published by Ubisoft. Yes. Yes, Addison, all that sucks too. Things are, it's not great.
But don't worry, they're geniuses. You just don't get
it. Yeah, they're going to figure it out. Don't worry. Just somehow, magically.
Capitalism prevails.
And capitalism, you know, it's definitely what, it's not like, I don't know. I was going to say capitalism is what breeds podcasts, but that might be true because there's no money happening on this podcast and y'all haven't gotten an episode in over a month.
Yeah.
But that's all right. We've had a rough couple months.
It's been a rough 12
months. Yeah, I was just about to say like Mitzi and I were making our Christmas cards tonight. There were all these messages like, we're hoping you, like, amidst, like, just like, oh my God, how do we sum up our year to all of our friends from our last Christmas card? Just be like, oh yeah, thank fuck it's over. Just like on your Christmas
card. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, same. And it's never over. The time just marches on. Anyway, let's talk about video games because those are a good part of what reality is, for the most part. Actually, I say that and I'm like, oh yeah, that new horror game I wanted to play apparently sucks, and then the Pokemon things, and so maybe video games aren't great actually in this reality.
Oh, don't worry, I still have lots of good things to say about video games.
Oh yeah, but Gungrave Gore is out and I haven't played it, but
I haven't either. Oh, I need to.
I've heard it's very good. I will be purchasing a physical copy of that.
Hell yeah.
I just need to get on that soon. Once the Christmas situation settles down. Hey, what is this show right now? We got to start the podcast. Yo.
I know. I was about to say you should do the thing that we do at the start of episodes.
Anyway, my name's Jordan /Jackal27. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm going to say that differently because this is not how I say it. I'm out of practice, so I'm like forgetting our intro. Anyway. My name's Jordan. You can follow me on Twitter at Jackal27 for as long as Twitter exists. That's all I'll say. If Twitter doesn't exist anymore, I'm sorry to tell you, you can't follow me there, but I will be on that damn website, that goddamn website until the wheels fall off. So you can count on that. If that website's up, you can follow me. And with me as always is my, extremely handsome co-host.
It's me, Addison, and you can, you can follow me on Twitter, I guess, but to be honest, while I will ride that ship into the iceberg, I've also kind of gotten off the boat as well.
Really?
So, like, I don't really...
Are you quiet quitting Twitter?
Much. I'm kind of quiet quitting Twitter.
What have you been doing instead?
I've been spending time on Tumblr.
Nice.
And I was spending time on Hive, but oops.
Same.
Not anymore.
Yeah, same.
But I made a brand new Tumblr. If any of you guys are on Tumblr and want to follow my bullshit there, it's I think it's just Addison_L. I forgot that I would probably be plugging that here today. Uh-huh. And I don't actually necessarily remember
what your URL is.
Because I made it and then I can't remember if like Tumblr is one of the ones where you can't actually put underscores.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
I don't know. I'll say that I think it is, but I'll say this. You should know where to find me on Tumblr, and I remember what my username is. It's Jordan Starkweather. That is my username on Tumblr. I remember it, number one, because it's my name, and number two, because they won't give me my fucking username back, even though no one's using it. And it's been so really annoying. And they've sent me three emails now, like, out of respect for the URL holder, we cannot change that. And I'm like, you motherfuckers, no one's holding the URL. I own, like, I had a Tumblr for years, Jackal27, had like 4,000 followers and really liked it. And then I felt guilty because I was spending too much time there. And I deleted it in like 2014, which was so fucking dumb. And I deleted my Tumblr, and then would still go back there from other Tumblrs from time to time. And like, so yeah, it's like my URL, cause nobody is fucking Jackal27, but it's like my URL just has sat there since 2014 unused, but like for some reason it's still registered or archived or something. So anyway, stupid. You could follow me on Tumblr at Jackal you can follow me on Tumblr at Jordan Starkweather. I've considered picking a new username, but you know, for brand consistency, I guess. Yeah. Can't get any more consistent than your real ass name.
Jordan, you know where else I've been spending a lot more time lately?
Where?
Discord.
Oh man, Discord fucking rocks. For now, until it gets shut down and rug pulled from under our feet or whatever. Or it's, you know, all of our information gets stolen. But for now, Discord remains a great and fun platform to interact with our beautiful audience. You can find a link to join our beautiful Discord in our pinned tweet, if that website exists. And if it doesn't, you can find a link on our website at pocketoidpodcast.com. There have been many times that I've asked myself, why do we have this website that we barely use? And why do we pay for a domain for it? And I'm like, wow, this is why. Because if Twitter disappears, literally everything that we've built around this show that's not the Discord will also disappear. So I'm glad that we have a website where people can find our stuff. Anyway, you can follow the podcast also at Pocketoid, whatever. You know the shit. It's just, we live in uncertain times as far as these things go. So this has extended the bit a little. But now we can move on. I promise by the next episode, we'll be able to be like, all right, here's the lineup, folks. This is where you can find this.
There's a brand new social media and we are on
yeah.
it. And it's going to be the one. That's going to be our new bit, is every episode we have a new place that you can follow
yeah. us at. Hey, just follow us at Pocketoid on Tumblr. It's still there. Like, it has yeah. been there for... since like 2009. Shit, I should have just made that my new Tumblr. That's what I should have done. Dude,
that would have been good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the same password.
Yeah. You're right. I might consider doing that because my main Discord is just kind of dead in the water. But whatever. Okay, so let's do the show now. Hey Addison, what video games have you been playing?
Holy shit, Jordan. So many.
I know it's been like over a month, but please just pick like three or four.
All right. So here's what's up. As you would have heard on the last episode from like October of 2003, I got a Steam Deck.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So playing, you know, all kinds of wacky stuff on there. And then just because I just am a just brainless idiot and can't control myself.
I bought another Steam Deck.
And because Kyle is a very, very nice boy, Kyle in our Discord, he really wanted a Steam Deck and made me a very good offer on a desktop that he was selling. And my desktop was DOA. And so... I took him up on it, and so it's a Alienware pre-built, so that's like kind of a bummer, but it gets the job done, and it'll keep me going for a few more years, and then until I maybe have some more money to build a computer. But
it is a very rotund boy.
It's
It's so round and huge. Like, it's like,
it's probably not the silliest looking alien.
It's like a fucking, it's like a fucking radiator from 1934.
Yeah, I just, Alienware, just use a normal case.
Yeah,
like, please. You can still put your, like, branding all over it, but just use a goddamn normal case. Anyways, I've thrown some games on there, and most recently I have been playing Warhammer 40K Darktide.
Okay.
Have you seen that game?
No. See, so, when we don't record, there's so many, like, normal people video games I do not hear about. It's like we start recording and you're like, have you heard of this Warhammer game? And I'm sitting here like looking at my stack of Famicom cartridges on the shelf and my Monster Hunter, my Ultraman Monster Rancher game. And I'm like, no, I haven't
well,
heard
don't
about
worry it. Because while, you know, in between rounds, I was applying fan translation patches to games like Sailor Moon, Another Story for the Super Nintendo.
Now we're talking. This is my language.
What was the other one? Bahamut something.
Lagoon?
You know what I'm talking
Bahamut
about.
Bahamut Lagoon?
What?
Bahamut Lagoon?
Yeah. Yes.
It's Nier's Patch, right? That it one. Better be Nier's Patch.
I honestly don't know.
I will
I'd have to go.
I will send it to you because if it's not Nier's patch, you need to replace it. Nier worked on his patch for 10 years. It was like his,
oh my God,
his life's work. When he finished it, that's when he passed away. And it was like his life's work. And it's incredible. It's maybe the best fan translation I've seen. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. If it's not that one, I definitely need it.
Yep.
But anyways, going back to Darktide, it is, did you ever see Vermintide?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So it's like that, but more Warhammer like.
Cool.
So I am just like a big, they call the class a Skull Crusher, and it's just a real big dumbass dude. And you just run around with like a big shovel or knife and you're just killing these like, zombies that look kind of almost Geiger-esque.
Hell yeah.
Very just sci-fi horror. And you're doing all these missions for the Empire. And you also have like a big gun, and there's some other classes too. And like some of them can like make heads explode and stuff, but
that's my favorite class, Head Exploder.
Yeah, I don't remember what they're called.
That's
but
great.
I just, every time I'm playing with one, I'm just like, I always know because I just see enemies and they glow blue and then their heads explode. And I'm like, oh, it's that guy. So yeah, it's just a Left 4 Dead game, but you also go into like your little hub world in between and you can equip different pieces of equipment and weapons and stuff and get different perks. And as you level up, you unlock different runes to kind of enhance your character. So like there's a lot of mileage to get from this, and you unlock like different missions as you get stronger. It's a ton of fun.
That sounds awesome.
It's on Game Pass, only PC Game Pass at the moment. So since I got the computer, I had some Microsoft points that I had been saving, but I can't remember if this had happened already or not when we last recorded, but my cousin had a house fire, lost everything. Ugh. And so, after that, I knew he was on his Xbox a lot and I barely used my Xbox. So I gave him my Xbox. Mm. And I had been saving up points on there for Game Pass Ultimate, but since didn't have an Xbox, I just use those points for PC Game Pass.
PC Game Pass is a pretty amazing deal, though. It's like you don't even have to have an Xbox. Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know how long I'll keep it. I'll probably just keep it until we are not playing Darktide anymore.
Yeah.
But for right now, I'm having a good time. I got some other games on there, but I have too much to talk about today. So the other ones I wanted to talk about were some Switch games. Since we last recorded, Bayonetta 3 came out.
It did.
And I have been having a good time. It has gotten a little overshadowed with a lot of the other releases coming out. So
I thought you were going
to
say,
to be honest, I
thought you were going to say by all the news surrounding it. I was like, yeah, you are correct. But
you know, yeah,
there's a lot. Video game news has also been fucking wild lately too.
Yeah, for real. But anyways, I haven't played it as much as I would have thought I would have at this point, but I still have really enjoyed it, and I do plan to complete it and see it through. One of the big changes in this one is that you're using these big kaiju-like demons, and so as part of like your combo, you can summon like different giant demons and control them. Very similar.
I was about to say, that sounds like a game. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I rarely talk about it, but it sounds like Astral Chain.
Yeah, Astral
Chain. You should play Astral Chain.
Yeah, it's very similar to how you would control your characters in Astral Chain.
Nice.
And then there's also like a new character. Pretty sure I'm so terrible with names, but I believe her name is Violet, and she's okay. I don't hate her as much as some people do, but she's not as good as the other characters in the series, I will say. But it's still a Bayonetta game, and I thought this was going to be kind of the end, but apparently it is not, without getting into spoiler areas. And it's still just balls to the wall, bonkers, and I just hardly ever really know what's going on. I wish it looked a little bit better, but I mean it's just kind of how Switch games are these days.
Yeah.
But had a really good time with that. I will talk about just a couple other games here. Because I was one of the people being very vocal of, I want Persona on my Switch. God damn it, I want Persona on my Switch. And then I got a Steam Deck and was like, oh, I can just play all of Persona. despite having the Steam Deck, I was like, I was pretty vocal about the Switch stuff, so I should buy Persona 5 on here. And I did. I had not played Royal. I had only played through vanilla Persona 5. Ooh. And so I have been playing through Persona 5 Royal, and that has been very fun. I'm about like 25 or 30 hours in.
Nice.
And I still have so much more to go. I always thought that Royal just had changes at the like back bit of the game. Uh-huh. Like I knew that they added another semester of the school year and added a new Phantom Thief, but I have noticed a lot of little changes that were not in vanilla Persona 5.
Really? Like
just little story scenes that happen. I'm not going to be able to think of any off the top of my head, but I know that there's been like little like quality of life improvements and little new items and stuff like that along the way.
What you're telling?
So that's been exciting.
Are you telling me? Because I haven't finished Persona 5 Vanilla yet. I was in the casino, I think. So, like, do you think
you were pretty close to the end?
Was I?
All things
considered, I was in the casino. So, like, I had all the party members, and was it the casino? Yeah, it was the casino, and it was like
you had Futaba as well.
I remember there's that. Do what?
Or not Futaba? I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, no, no, wait. No, no, no. There's a spoiler I've seen. I don't know. Because it like the main villain hasn't even been revealed yet. There's a few things where I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I still had a good ways to go. Maybe I'm wrong though. Cause I'm always wondering, should I pick that back up and finish it on there?
Well,
or should I start from scratch on the Switch version of Royal?
Like when I say that you are close to the end, I would say you probably still have at least another 15, 20 hours.
Yeah. See, it's like, if I'm ever going to play Royal, this would now be the time to do it. You know what I'm saying? Instead of going back and playing. Because I also
especially
just,
because
I just
you
never play
it
my
on
PS4.
Switch.
Yeah, and I never play my PS4. I just never play it.
Yeah.
Of course,
it,
these days
it's already
these
been
days,
going
not,
on.
But, sorry, what?
It's already been going on sales a lot too.
Has it?
Like faster than I would have expected. Like it was like $30 on Black Friday.
Yeah. I need to think it over some more and get back to playing modern video games, you know, eventually, but I might have to do that. We'll see. Anyway.
I'll just end the Persona talk with just saying that it looks really good on Switch, runs really well. There were, I think, some like memes going around about like playing it on Switch and it being terrible. But
yeah, there was a guy that I knew online, and he like on a couple things, like was the one making those posts. And I, in the day it launched, I found like gameplay footage of the two running side by side and just sent it to him as a reply, like a month later.
Yeah, it doesn't look as good as playing it on PS5, but hey, of course it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it runs completely fine, and I can, you know, sit there and play it handheld, which is really nice.
Yeah.
I was really tempted to get it on the Steam Deck, but I'm pretty glad I got it on Switch because I have it physical that way, and so I got a little steelbook for pre-ordering, and also the battery's going to last longer.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the big boy, the big game that I have this week.
What's that?
I say this week as if we record weekly. Pokemon Violet.
Oh, duh. Like, what am I thinking?
So have stupid. You heard about this?
Yeah.
Have you heard
God,
about Pokemon?
Have I? I'm so sick of hearing about it.
Oh, well, I have great news for your next 10 minutes.
No!
I have so many feelings about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
That I am interested to hear. I'm very interested to hear your experience.
So it is a mixed bag because I can see a world where this game could have taken the top spot for me and become my new favorite Pokemon game.
Whoa.
But because the world that you're in, I guess let me back up a little bit in case you just haven't heard, the new Pokemon game is very similar to Pokemon Legends Arceus in that they took some cues from Breath of the Wild and you have a big open world. And you can, you know, tackle things in whatever order you want. But I mean, to a certain degree, because this is going to lead right into one of my complaints. The levels for Pokemon and trainers and gym leaders and all of that do not scale. So you could go do like the fairy gym. As your first gym, but you're gonna get your shit pushed in because they're all gonna be like level 50.
Okay.
So it kind of creates this thing of like, okay, go have fun, go do whatever you want to do,
but also
you're gonna have to look up the order to do things.
Yeah, that's very silly.
But
why didn't they just make things scale? That's so easy to do.
I don't know. I wish they should have just made things scale. But like the way that they have things laid out, they do kind of naturally block off some things because you have this dragon motorcycle Pokemon that you're riding around from the start of the game. And at first, all he can do is you just ride on him and he just kind of, you know, moves around. But,
you ride on
as
him?
Yeah. as you basically have three sets of goals in this game, And one is taking on gym leaders. One is taking out the Team Rocket equivalent of the game, Team Star. I'm sure it's different in Pokemon Scarlet, probably a different name. And then the other one is helping this guy with a mission that he has for finding all of these different sandwich ingredients. But to do so, you have to take out these Titan Pokemon, which is very similar to something that you had to do in Legends Arceus.
Okay.
And after you take out a Titan Pokemon, that unlocks a new ability for your motorcycle dragon boy. So, you know, you might take one out and now he can go faster, or you might take one out and now he can climb walls, or now he can glide. So I'm, God, this game has so much going on in it that I feel like I'm getting very scattered, but, I'll just go to my next kind of big complaint is that the world is huge, but there is not enough going on in the world to make it interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like to me from watching April play. Is I was just like, wow, this is a really big world. And then I would just kind of look out and be like, but like, it just kind of seems like it's really sparse Pokemon. And I don't know, like, does it justify being that big and open?
It does not justify being that big and open.
Okay.
But I won't say that the Pokemon feels sparse. I can't think of a single instance where I have been out in the world and not been able to see, you know, a dozen Pokemon.
Okay. I guess I mean like, I think I mean just like, yeah, like you said, like things to do. And I think maybe it also, I'm also thinking about like how the game loads in, because I feel like it only loads things like 10 feet in front of you. So if you're like seeing these rolling hills or whatever, it just looks like you don't see any Pokemon. You don't see anything. It's like IRL in Pokemon, you'd see Pokemon of different sizes off in the distance. You'd see Pokemon up in the sky, all kinds of shit.
Especially if you like, you know, are on top of a mountain and you jump off with your Pokemon and start gliding, like you're just, it's pop-in city.
Yikes.
And it's a little rough. And they also, speaking of which, they do something where when you're gliding, you, after like a certain amount of gliding, they're just like, you're done. And they just make you drop. And just like I thought it would work like how it does in Breath of the Wild, where you just, you know.
Yeah, you glide to the
gently
ground.
Glide, yeah. And like you are slowly declining.
Yeah.
Like, but it does that for a while, and then the game is just like, no, you have to drop now.
Okay. It's like, why didn't they just make a thing where you glide faster? Because if you just, like, if you just, you know what I'm saying? Like the Pokemon's like heavier and you can't glide that far, but instead it just like glides and then it'll just drop you. Like, that's so stupid. Doesn't make any sense.
The only thing I can think of is something about like just the engine that it's running. Like, it just can't keep up with loading all of the different assets.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you're going through areas quicker than it wants you to. But I, you know, there's a lot of technical issues going on in the game, a lot of visual glitches and poor performance that happens. And like, I've had the game crash on me once and like lost a little bit of progress.
Yuck.
Got like a memory leak kind of issue.
Oh my
like
God.
If you leave it suspended. But,
oh my God.
But you know, I just keep playing it a lot. despite how just busted this game is, I still have the Pokemon brain worms, Jordan.
Yeah.
And I just got to keep playing it. And, you know, this was the first one where going into it, I kept away from all the leaks as much as I could, really. Mm-hmm. And didn't look at any of the leaked Pokemon. Like, I would see, you know, the ones coming out with like the official announcements. And well, I did look at the starters, but I needed to know, you know, so I didn't pick the one that people were going to draw porn of.
God.
God.
And it's a. It's still very addictive to me. And I think that there's a lot of really cool new Pokemon designs happening in this game. And I think it's the best story that the series has probably ever had. And I'm still having like really a lot of fun creating a team. And with the new terastalizing mechanic.
I do like that mechanic a lot, honestly.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting to me.
So, like, they, around the beginning of the release of the game, you could go do these raids and catch Eevees so that you could end up with a Flareon and it would, like, terastalize and then become a water type. So you could, like, someone could see that you're sending out Flareon and they'd be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna, you know, send out this water type, and then you would turn into a water type, but also, you know, still have your like fire moves as well. And
okay,
just adds a whole new layer of strategy. I think it's got the best Pokédex that the game has ever had.
Really? I do like how like a lot of the pokes I've been seeing are like ones I hadn't seen in a while or I wouldn't expect to be there, which is always nice.
Yeah, I was super happy to see that Delibird was in the game. I love Delibird. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I don't know. That's been one of the most enjoyable parts, is getting to new areas of the map and just getting to see which Pokemon are running around there. And like, you know, just stumbling across Pokemon that are rare in that area. Mm-hmm. Or like, the day-night cycle will go through, and I'm like, oh, there's completely different Pokemon here now. It's also got probably the best, probably the best soundtrack that the game has ever had.
Whoa.
And there's a lot of other just little bits here and there that I could talk about of, like, why I keep coming back to it. It's weird, because I liked Sword and Shield. I know a lot of people didn't, but I did like Sword and Shield. And I think that this game, performance-wise at least, is nowhere near as good as Sword and Shield. Mm. But I think it's a better game. Mm. And so it's just it's a really difficult game to talk about in its current state, because there's a lot that I like about it and a lot that is a big disappointment to me.
So, I have to wonder how much a lot of this stuff is because of the pandemic, is because they were probably working on it. Cause I can't remember where it was, but I read that this has been in production for 3 years, and it's like, yeah, that sounds right. it's like, that's right around the time for 2020 to come in and fuck up a lot of your plans. But
it makes me pretty excited for whatever the next generation ends up being, though.
Me too.
So at the end of the day, this is like a Pokemon where if you're a really big fan, I think you're still going to have a really good time with it. But if you're more casual Pokemon fan, where you kind of dip in and out on different generations, then I would say, you know, wait and see if they get some of this fixed, or, you know, if you can get it for half price at some point. But it's just, it's hard to recommend. It just really depends on the person, I think.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But that's, I guess I will secede my time.
Okay.
Because I feel like I have talked a lot about video games.
Hey, that's fine. We've had a lot of video games to talk about, and I'm about to talk about a lot more. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, then ask me.
Hey, Jordan.
Yeah.
Video games.
Hey, I got this thing that plays video games called the Analog Pocket right here.
Oh, no. That's my reaction, because I know where this is going already.
It's fine.
Oh, that's cool, Jordan. I love my Analog Pocket. I bet you're having a great time.
It's fine. It's fine. It showed up with a bunch of fucking gunk stuck to it. That I had to work for 3 hours to get off without damaging the material. And when I emailed them about it, they sure did reply and just sound like super condescending. Like, why are you even bothering us with this? Despite how awful those pictures look, if you go and look. Yeah, it was like the film from the protective quote unquote stickers, like fused to the metal of the console. I've never seen anything like it. And it was like every ounce of stick came off. It was disgusting and really frustrating.
So
terrible first impression.
They just did nothing about it.
Nothing about it. Terrible, terrible, yeah, terrible first impression. However, gotta say, the hardware, pretty cool. It's nice. It's fun to use. The buttons feel solid. I like a lot of the visual options. The like Game Boy DMG filter is really, really, really fucking well done. Like the best I've ever seen on a handheld, particularly. Maybe not like compared to like something RetroArch, you know, could do with filters or whatever, but it's really good. The Game Boy Color filter is really good. And the Game Boy Advance filter is okay. It's fine.
You got your pocket at a pretty good time too, with like all the developments that have been happening.
I actually just realized I haven't updated it, so I don't know what those are. but I haven't touched any of the FPGA stuff. I want to watch how that shit develops. Having a portable Mister does sound pretty fucking cool. Like, but I also know that has to be developed for, you know, this thing in particular. So,
it's been like going at a pretty good pace.
Yeah.
It does everything up to Neo Geo pretty well. Hmm. And, Jotego has been putting cores out. He's been, porting a lot of his cores directly to the pocket.
Well, maybe I need to look into that. However, I have some problems, Addison. I have some problems. What the fuck? This thing's been out for like a year and it still has like all the problems that everyone talked about at the beginning. Like, not like some, like it has problems with the fucking flash cartridge compatibility. It has problems with some of the things that, like in the settings and whatever, where there's just like an option and I'm like, or like there's options for one thing what about this thing too? This seems really obvious. No, not available. It's like there, it's just doesn't, even though like it feels like it's hefty and it's built well, I'm not sure that it really, especially with the options it has, aside from the screen, which is objectively incredible and gorgeous, I'm just not sure it has the feel of a premium device for me. I'm very interested in the hardware inside. I'm a little disappointed with the hardware and the software outside, if that makes sense. I guess in function. One thing that really bothers me is the way cartridges fit into it. Cause I'm kind of like the ideal person for one of these.
Yeah.
My brain is broken and I own like 150 Game Boy cartridges. And so like, but I have friends whose, it has such a tight grip. Like it's like, it only fits the very bottom of the cartridge in the console, which leaves room for it. And there's no like hard, you know, edge to keep the cartridge in. So it leaves room for it to just kind of wiggle like really easily. And this has happened to me. I was playing a game and my finger like tapped the cartridge and it froze. And I was like, great. This is great job, everyone. Like, great. But also so it's like simultaneously too loose and too tight because I have friends for whom the cartridge slot has damaged the stickers on their carts. Like,
oh,
because
I hadn't heard about that.
Something that's very common with Game Boy carts over time is at the corners of the bottom of the sticker and at the top, the sticker can peel up a little bit. You know, if it gets a little too hot, if the adhesive gets a little old, it can peel up. And it's like, if it's raised even a tiny, tiny bit, like it can catch on that cartridge slot and just rip and like oh my God, that's terrifying to think about. like for playing real cartridges. And I can confirm, like, I haven't tested it with any of my cartridges that have that problem. But I ain't gonna. It's a tight fit for carts, and I can definitely see how it would be really easy to do that without, you know, when you're not thinking about it. So that's frustrating. And I really wish that if they do a revision someday, and I think that they could, they've got to change that somehow. Even if the other cartridges stick out more at the top or whatever, that's just unacceptable. Like, it's just, it's terrifying, and it's, you know, a usability issue. So yeah, that's my biggest concern. It's like damaging, you know, actual hardware. But like, yeah, all these things, you know, hit me when I first got it, and I was like, eh. But then that night I just picked it up and I started playing Pokemon Gold, and I had the screen at like the exact saturation I liked. I had, you know, and it had like the nice filter on it, and I was just having a great time, and, you know, the console just disappeared because I was just having fun, like, playing my games on it. And that's the best thing I can say about it, is playing games on this thing feels very nice. It do play the games really well. The buttons feel good, and it's got a nice heft to it, and the screen just draws you in with how gorgeous and big it is. It's a mixed bag, but I think, like, if you want to play some Game Boy games, it'll be great for you. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
On like a modern hardware.
So have you, I was a little confused on when you were talking about this. Have you updated the firmware at all?
No, but the issues that I'm talking about specifically, I know there's some things that have been added. I looked into it ahead of time. There are issues that really bother me that are like still present in even in the updated firmware. Let's see if it has the operating system on here. I don't know how to find it, whatever. But yeah, I do need to update it though, for sure. So, and I'm hoping that will fix some of the software issues for me, but that cartridge thing, it is terrifying. That is like my biggest no-no. And I'm like, I don't know. We'll see.
I had like one or two moments of like bumping the cartridge and it freezing, which was, you know, annoying.
Yeah.
But ever since all of these updates have come out, I primarily am just running games off of my SD card.
Yeah, that makes sense. And see, I didn't know how viable that was with the updates. So if that were me, I would just, yeah, be filling it up and just playing on the actual console from the SD card. What else was I going to say about it? For me, I am considering reselling it though, even though I like it. And I will see once I, you know, try out more of the new updated software. But my thing is, like, I have like seven Game Boys with like, yeah. And several of them have great screens. And the one I'm about to build, the Game Boy Advance I'm about to build, is like my dream build. And it's like, when I have all that, do I need an analog pocket? And if you are someone who, you know, has a bunch of Game Boys and has like, you know, is happy with the modded screens that you have, and, you know, like, has done all this cool stuff or whatever, like, I just don't know if it's necessary for you, especially at the price that it's at. I mean, it is expensive, and, you know, some of the issues that can be there, it's like, especially like damaging your carts and stuff. It's like, I don't know. I don't have a better time playing this than I do a Game Boy with an IPS screen. You know, I don't have like,
yeah,
it doesn't make that big of a difference to my enjoyability, to kind of justify the massive difference in price, between those two things. So I don't know. It's, I guess, you know, you already know whether you want one or not, but if you've got one coming and you want it as your way to play Game Boy games, as long as you can watch those labels on your authentic cartridges, it's a good way to play Game Boy games. I can't deny that. So,
do you remember how much we paid? How much were they?
I think they were $250 back then.
Okay. I was just looking at like the sold ones on eBay to see what they were going for.
Oh, they go.
It's all kind of, what?
They go.
Not Not so much anymore. They're all kind of around 300.
Yeah, that's like what'll sell. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to think it over and see. I'm not sure. But it's cool. It's a cool piece of hardware. Whatever. If I wind up keeping it, I'll still enjoy it. I can't say it's bad. It just could use a second revision.
I think my biggest issue with it is because of how premium it is, I'm scared to remove it from my house.
Oh, yeah, that was something I was going to mention too. Is like one of the best parts about playing Game Boy games, yeah, is like the portability of them. But I would never throw this thing in my bag or my pocket,
yeah,
and go to the store. Like one of my Game Boys, like absolutely. Because even if one of those motherfuckers slams into the concrete, like it's gonna break.
It's a Game Boy. It's gonna be fine.
It's gonna break the sidewalk, right? Like it doesn't. And this thing just, yeah, it's really scary. Even though I have that massive screen protector on it, it still is like, oh, geez, this thing feels like it could. I don't know. I might see if I could find like a hard case for it or something. But oof.
Which is why I want to get a Miu Mini. And also because I have worms in my brain.
You know, I said it in the Discord, I'll say it on here. There's a point when it's time to stop buying handhelds and time to start going to therapy.
Yeah. Or time to start playing the games I say I'm going to play on the handheld.
Yeah, that's a good one right there. You have several Game Boys, including an analog pocket. So I think you can.
And the Steam Deck, yeah, where I can play like.
Also, like how much do you. How much?
80-90% of the video game library that's in existence.
Yeah, on your fucking mister. How much could your. I was about to say, like, honestly, like. How much traveling would you do with your pocket anyway? It's like, if you're going to use it, you're probably going to use it in your house.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I felt more comfortable taking it outside of the house, like I'd put it in a bag and like take it with me, you know, to work or like, you know, in between places, like pull it out while waiting somewhere and play something. But
dude, my AGS 101 Advanced SP, I'm like looking at it right now. That little motherfucker, I just throw him in my bag and let him rattle around for 12 hours. Like I love it.
I honestly, that's probably what I should do is just like, I have that GBA flash cart but then I get these like things in my brain where I'm like, but then I can't play this and I can't play that.
Oh, that's silly.
I want to have access.
Don't do that. Like, that's silly.
I know.
If that thought comes to you, just pick one game. Be like, you know what? Today I feel like playing fucking Puzzle Fighter 2. Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo. What a fucking awesome game. What a great game to just pick up and play.
It is a great game.
It's like, that's going to be my game that I want to play today. And if I get some time at work, I'm looking forward to playing Puzzle Fighter 2. And you just grab whatever device can do that. That's how you got to think about it. You can't think about what you're missing out on. That's fucking FOMO brain. You got to.
And let me
that.
Tell you, Jordan, off the top of my head, I have 4 devices that I can just think of off the top of my head that I could play that on.
Yeah, there you go.
I probably have more devices.
Actually, I know, I know that because the reason it came to my brain is because I remember years ago, like 2010 or 11 or something, I like met you at the movie theater and I just like walked up to you and you just had your PSP go out, just blasting Puzzle Fighter 2. And I was like, damn. Like, I was like, what a moment, dude. Like, just to bust out Puzzle Fighter 2. That's like one of my favorite things. I think like I did this earlier on Sunday too, because like my brother on the Thanksgiving, because I was just sitting there and I saw my brother, you know, who's like 30 from across the room, and he's just on his fucking phone. And I mean, like, you gotta remember, this is my brother who like doesn't really play video games, like kind of like maybe he plays like God of War for the PS4, right? And he's just got his little emulator up on his phone and he's just blasting Dr. Mario. Like, and he's on like, he's like, they are, those fucking pills are dropping like lightning, like they are, because he's been playing for so long.
Using touch controls?
Yes, Yes.
Wow.
I think he was using an NES emulator or something. And I just said from across the room, I was like, are you playing Dr. Mario? And he's like, yeah, what about it? I was just like, okay, yeah, but that's why I love handhelds, because you just see someone playing something completely out of context in the year 2022, right? Just completely removed from the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You're right. Break your brain like me and play stuff no one's talking about. I just picked up a copy.
Oh, I did. Didn't you see? I played Ghost Chaser Densei.
Oh, yeah. Friday night. Yeah, yeah, yeah. True.
Who the hell's playing that, Jordan? You tell me.
Yeah, that I did see that screenshot. That game looks pretty sick. I think I remember watching a review of that at some point. I was about to say, I just bought a copy of Space Raiders for the Nintendo GameCube. No one's hanging out with me.
What's it mean about my brain that you said that and I had a perfect image of the box art for that game in my brain?
Dude, same. That's always been one that's like stuck in my head. I don't know why. I think it's like it used to be really common too. So you would just see it like scattered amongst the like Shrek 2s and SpongeBob the movie, yeah. The game. And at like vintage stock, and you'd see that and be like, that looks mildly interesting. What's this?
Yeah, it was also always one of those games where I was just like, I don't think I'll ever play this, but I also want to play
this
because it looks neat.
It's still pretty cheap. And I picked, do you know what it is?
It's like I don't think it plays at all like Space Invaders, but it's like supposed to be like a sequel to Space
Invaders. It does play like Space Invaders.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Okay. Except like wild. With like quote unquote modern like GameCube era character designs and graphics.
Okay, so it's Bomberman Zero, but good.
Yes, that's a great way to describe it. It is like the Bomberman Zero of Space Invaders, but good. Like I was watching a review, amazing. And they were like, "This game kind of sucks because it's like 6 hours long." But then they went on talking about, but you know, it's just Space Invaders, and it looks good, and it has new power ups, and it's. And I was like, "This sounds like the perfect video game. What are you talking about?" But I, you know, it's out of context now where you can find it for $15. Anyway. So like I've been picking up some weird stuff. So speaking of weird stuff, I've been picking up, I wanted to share with you the good news of our Lord and Savior, the Namco NegiCon for the PlayStation 1, which I recently bought. It is a racing controller where you twist the controller. Have you seen this before?
Oh, yes, I have. I have seen this.
It fucks, Addison. This controller rocks.
It fucks Addison.
Yes. It has has analog face buttons that like compress into the controller. It has like the twisting on it just feels so damn good. There's like a nice amount of resistance to it. The triggers are GameCube triggers. Well, the right one is anyway, where it's like an analog trigger, but then there's like a click at the end. It's like a controller from a different dimension, and I love it. And I've been playing a bunch of Ridge Racer with it, and it's good. That's my review.
Did that controller come out in America?
No, you have to import it.
Okay.
But I got it. That's what I got it for $30, and it was worth every penny.
Nice.
That's pretty good for like a retro controller too, especially one that's specialized.
Yeah, for sure.
But man, it's great. I love the NegiCon. If you love your PS1, if you like racing games on your PS1, it's an essential for me. I also, other weird stuff I picked up, I bought an AV Famicom, like the top loader Famicom from Japan. The boy, I got him. He's cute. He's fun. He's great.
Hell yeah.
I got a flash cart for it, and I almost pulled my hair out trying to get my NES library in order this week, but it's done. Well, other than like ROM hacks, which I still have to put some on there. And it's great. And I've been playing a game on it, and the game is Goemon Gaiden. I don't remember the subtitle. I think it's The Missing Golden Pipe or something. It is a JRPG for the Famicom that has been translated, starring our Lord and Savior, Mystical Ninja Goemon. And
the good boy.
It's the game rocks. It's a great RPG. It's super funny and charming. It feels like a Super Nintendo RPG on the NES. It has like auto battle, and you can just save anywhere on the map. It's wild to play an NES RPG that like does not feel like it was made in 1972. And yeah, I love it. And it's the first Goemon RPG, and there's a second one on the Famicom, and I've been liking it so much. I'm like, damn, very excited to play more of this game and then also play the second one eventually. And it just got a fan translation, I think, last year, or maybe that's the second one. But all those games have been getting translated. And if you're like me and you've always kind of had trouble connecting to the Goemon, like, 2D games, the kind of, they're not really beat-em-ups, I guess. I don't know what you would call them. But like, if those have never like clicked for you entirely, like I would recommend going and playing Goemon Gaiden, because it's just like a really funny, charming, cute JRPG with all the same like character flair and comedy that Goemon has. So, what were you gonna say?
Do they all play the same? I was just gonna ask if all the Goemon games play pretty similar.
To each other. No, actually, there's like, I think the Super Nintendo ones play pretty similar. And they play pretty similar to like the NES ones. And, but there's like the first game was like an arcade game that was like its own weird thing. And then like it turned into this kind of little, not Zelda style, I guess Zelda style game with more like beat 'em up elements. And I don't know, I haven't played a lot of them, so I can't really speak to that. But then like on the N64, it's like straight up, you know, Ocarina of Time shit. And then the other one is a 2D platformer. So I don't. It's hard to say. I think that they run the gambit pretty well, though. But playing Goemon Gaiden has me wondering, like, damn, why don't they make more of these Goemon RPGs? This is a lot of fun, and I like it. And I really wish that there was, like, one for the Super Nintendo and one for the PSX, but no such luck, unfortunately.
If you are listening to the podcast and you have any questions about Goemon,
Ninja, if you have any,
just go onto our Discord and hit that at symbol and just tag Goblin Heath and
or Dust Whale Beard.
Let me tell you, yes, either one of them, but it seems especially Goblin Heath.
Yeah,
they'll answer those questions for
you.
Yeah,
they can tell you anything you want to know. It's just so funny to me, like how we have such a weirdly like condensed group of Goemon fans in our Discord. It's just such a weird intersection that I don't think, like, it's like one of those things where, like, you know, like you, like several people show up who like the same two or three things. And then you also find this thing over here that's like connected to through most of them, but not everyone. And it's like you and I were not like, you know, diehard Goemon fans, but somehow we've attracted like a nice little chunk of Goemon people. I love it.
Yeah. And we're also not like the, you know, the biggest Kamen Rider stands in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, same.
We've got the Kamen Rider people doing their thing.
But it's like, yeah.
Keeping it locked down.
Yeah, damn. You're right. That's great. Damn it. You reminded me of something I was going to say. No, I don't remember what it was. Anyway, the AV Famicom is really great. I don't think it's like a, if you want a top loader, and you like don't want to, you know, get like a US one that only has RF out, you know, you want one that has composite. The AV Famicom's a gorgeous little addition to your library. And it has like fucking a great composite out, looks really nice and sharp. Way better than the US NES's shitty composite out, which I hate, and I will only ever use RF on the American NES. But yeah, it's a great little console. The controllers are very short, so just keep that in mind. Make sure you get controller extenders.
But they do have microphones in them.
They don't. This model does not have the microphones. What? The original Famicom does, but the AV Famicom does not. Sadly.
How are you going to play that one weird game that I watched on Game Center CX?
I guess I will, I don't know, fucking patch a ROM. They have ROMs to patch those out, or patches to patch that out. But yeah, so I also got, I got like my flash cart, which is great. And then I also got a bunch of like Famicom cartridges for $1 a piece. I won't go through like all the games I got, but I just got basically whatever they had. Cause I was just like, these are cute and I like them. And they are, God, those little cartridges are a crack. They are just like, I've been stacking them in like a rainbow on my shelf, and I'm just looking at it right now, and it's so satisfying. Famicom cartridges are great.
Japan, Jordan.
When we go, I'm just taking like $1,000 and I'm just going to round. I'm getting like one Paku Graffiti, that Splatterhouse NES game. I'm getting like a copy of fucking Crisis Force. I'm going crazy. Cosmic Epsilon. I'm going nuts. And so, yeah, that's whenever we get to Japan, I'm going to bring a whole carry, a whole ass carry on for fucking Famicom cartridges.
I remember whenever I was going, I had a suitcase with me that was like pretty empty, and you know, you have to weigh your bags. And the guy that was next to me, he was like some old dude who looked very snooty and rich. And he like saw the scale number pop up and he was like, "What did you pack?" And I just, all I said was, "Don't worry, it will be a much bigger number on the way back."
That's really funny. That's great. Yeah, I'm totally doing that shit. Anyway, the Famicom's great. They hand those things out like candy in Japan. If you're ever in Japan, and just grab one. It's a great little thing to have. It just feels like a cool little part of gaming history. It has its own nice little personality. I like the AV Famicom a lot. And I'm having a great time playing NES games for the first time in so long, because it's such a pain in the ass to get the US NES to even work. So it's just
not mine. Mine works great.
Does it really?
Yeah, because I had the board replaced in it.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I'm planning to. Mine doesn't need the board replaced, but it just like will not read cartridges. I'm going to open it up. I think it's probably going to be my January, because I always take a January rebuild. I'll probably open that up in January, and I'm going to fucking get all that shit working again.
But I say that I replaced the board. I mean like the pin part of the board.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to go in there and fix all that up. So. Anyway, so yeah, I've been playing those, and then I've got one last game to talk about, Addison, and we can be all done, but I gotta talk about it because it rocks. So I finally got my copy in the mail. It took me a while because, I was importing a physical copy, but I finally got my copy of Ultra Kaiju Monster Rancher. Damn, hell, that's four words that are just... That's a Jordan ass title.
Jordan activation words.
Yeah, that's my secret agent activation word. Yeah, phrase. Yeah, absolutely. Ultra Kaiju Monster Rancher. goddamn. This is a Monster Rancher video game. The first one in definitely 10 years at least. If you don't want to count like Monster Rancher DS, then like maybe 15 years, more than that. It's crazy. It's been a while since we've had any Monster Ranchers. And this is a new one, except that all the monsters in it, Addison, are Ultraman Kaiju. And
hell yeah, they are.
I just want to start off the bat by saying, if you are a fan of Monster Rancher, if you have played Monster Rancher 2 in particular and had a pretty fun time with it, if you've had fun with any of the games, go out and buy this fucking game right now, because it's the best Monster Rancher, just hands down. The only thing I can think that it kind of, where it might not measure up to like Monster Rancher 2, or, you know, which is previously considered the best, is the fact that like it doesn't have as many monsters as the Monster Rancher games, you know, probably because like it's hard to make all these kaiju who look and animate so differently and also have to be accurate to the show and probably cost money to license. So, but there are still a good amount of kaiju here, and it's really fun to raise them. I've raised 4 or 5 so far. The way the loop works is you get a monster, you take them to your ranch, you have them do drills to work up specific stats. You've got 6 stats, which are life, power, intelligence, skill, speed, and defense. And you've got to kind of balance out what you want your monster to focus on. Some techniques that they can use in battle will like use, you know, an intelligence stat, and some will use like your power stat, but you also got to be able to hit anything and, you know, dodge and, you know, use your defense. So it's like, where are you going to focus? And some monsters obviously like excel at some certain stats, and others excel at other ones. But the way this game works is you can only train one at a time, and you train them like day to day, and they will age in the game. And eventually, in other Monster Ranchers, they die. They won't let these ones die, though. I think that's like an Ultraman thing. The monsters can't die. So it's like
they retire to another ranch.
Yes, that's what they just retire to, like the town like center, and they're like, we're gonna take him away to the farm, you know. It's like one of those things. Like so they just retire and they can't fight anymore, and you have to get a new one and train it from scratch, and so that's kind of the gameplay loop. And it's all about balancing the lifespan of your monster, not overworking them, and like keeping their stress meter down, keeping them well rested, and you know, also making them a strong monster that can break through the ranks. And you can also fuse monsters together to make new monsters. Oh, and I forgot to talk about how you get monsters in this game. So like the whole gimmick, of course, used to be that you would pull them from like a disc, but I don't know if you know this, but the Switch doesn't have a CD drive, so you can't do that anymore. And what you have here instead is you can, just like Addison talked about in the Monster Rancher 1 and 2 remasters, if you have the physical version from Hong Kong, which I have, you can, it's still in English, but you know, you can import it. You can actually use a database of CDs. So like a bunch of my monsters are, you know, they all come from like Sufjan Stevens albums and Carly Rae Jepsen and fucking, you know, Charlie XCX. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's where a lot of my monsters come from. But if you buy the digital US version, there actually isn't a CD database, sadly. And the only way you can like create monsters is by the same way they did it on the Game Boy Advance games, which I find very funny, which is that you like, you know, you just type in a word. I wish that they, you just type in like whatever word you want and see what pops out, which works, you know, it's kind of uninspired. Oh, but there is another way you can get monsters, which is also disappointing in a lot of ways. You can, there's an NFC scanner. It can use the Switch's NFC scanner to scan NFC tags, like credit cards or your work ID.
I don't approve of NFCs.
It's not NFTs, Addison. NFCs. Okay. So it can like scan, and it can scan NFTs, and you can get your ape in the game. God, can you imagine a Monster Rancher game where
your bored kaiju NFT today?
Oh God. Anyway, it can scan NFC chips and it can like make monsters from those NFC chips, which is very cool because in Japan they have like, you can buy like figures with that have NFC chips in the foot, and you can buy like cards that have NFC chips, and you know, all and like medals that have NFC chips, and you can scan those monsters into the game.
Amiibo.
That's where things get fucking stupid. They didn't want.
Oh no.
They didn't want to pay the licensing fee to let you use Amiibo to scan in monsters, and I'm like, what are you doing? It's so frustrating. Like, how do you miss?
I thought it was just like any NFC.
It tag. Is any like, NFC tag except for Amiibo on the Nintendo
I don't
Switch.
Even understand how they can? I don't even understand how they're able to tell a difference.
Apparently, you have to license. You have to pay a license fee to Nintendo to let people use Amiibo or to use Amiibos in your game. And apparently it's pretty expensive. And this was obviously a budget title and they said they couldn't afford it. They wanted to, but they said they couldn't afford it. And it sucks. It sucks so bad. It makes me so sad.
But you can still see, or you can still use the NFC reader on
the Switch. Joy-Con? Yes. You can use the reader. You can use the technology. It just won't, like if it scans an Amiibo, it goes into the game and it's just like, sorry, this title doesn't support Amiibo. And then you have to go back.
Have you tried using like those Animal Crossing Amiibo coins?
Yes, those do not work because they are Amiibos. They're NFCs written with Amiibo data. Now, what I have been able to do is I have a bunch of NFC stickers that I have bought for, you know, to make more Amiibos if I need to make pirate Amiibo data. And those stickers have nothing on them. And I've been scanning those stickers and they generate monsters. So that's pretty cool. But it just is so frustrating. Like it would be so fun to see like what monsters you would get from like Kirby or Waddle Dee or whatever. It'd be so fun. I understand that they couldn't afford it, but I really think that it would have been worth the price. I think people would have been excited to see another Amiibo title, you know, that it just makes sense. It just makes sense. Anyway. And it's, you know, and I guess, like I said, in Japan, it makes more sense because it's like, oh, you can buy all this fucking Ultraman merchandise that has NFC codes, right? So it's like, It's like, you can, if you want a monster, you can just go, you know, you probably buy a pack of guards and you get 5 or 6 new monsters there. But here in the US, it's really hard to find Ultraman merchandise, right? So like, we're kind of just confined to using the words, unless you like, you know, have a bunch of NFC things lying around for some reason. So it's, that part's disappointing. Everything surrounding the game though, like actually, so like generating monsters, not as fun as past games. Everything around it though is like perfect. It's the perfect Monster Rancher game. If like getting a monster and training them and battling them and kind of like having this chill time and like looking at all their cool animations and new techniques appeals to you, it's an easy sell. It's like one of my,
okay, I have a big, sorry.
I was going to say, it's one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite games of the year, that I've played, which hasn't been a huge list, but it's definitely one of my favorites, if not my favorite. And, it's an easy recommendation for me, other than, damn, put that amiibo functionality in, please God. Anyway, what was your question?
I was just going to ask, other than the kaiju.
Yes.
Is there any other Ultraman stuff going on in the game?
Oh, yes. There's like, so I mean, the whole story revolves around like, there was once a time where, you know, all these kaiju roamed the earth and then Ultraman came down and stopped them. And now we're like, and sealed them away in these like coins, and now we're reawakening them to train them for fun. It's not like a game that's really driven by its story, like, but
Ultraman would not approve.
He does show up a couple times.
He would have some things to say.
He does show up a couple times, and I do get that vibe.
Is he like, hey guys, what the fuck?
Yeah, it really is a story about humanity and our hubris. Because it sounds, as soon as I heard that, I was just like, that's a terrible idea. Yeah, that makes sense. For profit? Yes, sure. We will unleash the monsters once more. Of course we would do that. Of course. It's just Jurassic Park. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. And there is like, there's lots of Ultraman stuff. Like your farm hand, like your assistant on the ranch is Conagon, who is an Ultraman monster that can talk, and eats gold coins. And he's like one of your farm hands. And he makes a lot of bad puns, and he has human grandparents, which they won't explain. but they are obviously like pointing out as very strange.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot of good humor. You also like can unlock new monsters. So if you've seen like monsters in the trailers and on the box art, there are secret monsters in the game that cover a lot of bases that I was very worried about. I was like, dude, where's this guy? What the crap? Where's this guy? They're probably in there. There's like some obvious omissions that could have been in here that I'd love to see some more DLC for this. I'd love to see a follow-up with even more monsters. But I think there's a solid amount, especially when you like, if you're an Ultraman fan and like, you know, these monsters like the back of your hand, God, it's so fun to like fuse them together and see, you know, kind of what the design looks like and how that fusion works together. There's a couple of really fucking funny instances where like, there's like, what is it? There's like a, this one, like when you combine Gamora and Red King, Red King is this guy, he kind of looks like the Goombas from the Super Mario Brothers movie with this little bitty head. And Gamora has this, he's this dinosaur with this big, like moon-shaped crest on the back of his head. And if you combine them, it just looks like Red King's tiny little head with Gamora's goofy ass fucking frill just smashed on top. And Dorian calls him Red King Silly Hat. That is what he calls him. And yeah, it's good. It's a good game. I like it a lot. It's very fun. If you love if you like Monster Rancher, in any amount, I would say it's worth playing. If you like Ultraman, God, you're gonna fucking love this game. If you like both, what are you doing listening to this? Like it's just, it's a no-brainer. It's my favorite Ultraman game that I've played and my favorite Monster Rancher game, which is like one of the most important series in my life since like Monster Rancher 2 got me to buy a PlayStation. And it's, yeah, it's like, I love it. I love Ultra Kaiju Monster Rancher. I wish it was getting more hype, but the people that are playing it, They know. We know. And it just feels nice to have another one after all these years. So that's my review. I give it an... I'm going to give it a buy it, actually. For me, it's an essential. If you like Ultraman and Monster Rancher, it's an essential. But I'll give it a buy it for everyone else. It does have a couple little niggling issues. Oh, one I forgot to mention is, like, in battles, sometimes the performance gets pretty fucking framey. But it's kind of, like, fun. I don't know. It's not that bad. And the battles are kind of turn-based. So it's not, like, you know, a big issue. But yeah, if that really, if that stuff bothers you, I don't know, just be aware, but I guess whatever. Okay. That's it. I'm all done.
If I don't get that game for Christmas, I will be buying it pretty shortly after.
I think you will like it. It's also been like great for my hands. Cause like, it's so chill. I can just like play on my arcade stick and, yeah, it's been very nice for that. And it's just a wholesome, chill, simple, I don't know. They don't make video games this straightforward anymore, if that makes sense, where it's like you just get a monster and train them and then fight them. It's like, it's just refreshing. I like it. So anyway, yeah, that's Ultra Kaiju Monster Rancher. And that's all the stuff that I've been doing. And I think we are definitely out of time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. We didn't ask for questions this week because we knew we'd have a lot to talk about. We got a lot of catch up to play. But next time we record, I want to get back on weekly, Addison. I want to do weekly episodes again. I miss it.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well,
or bi-weekly at least?
I do. At least bi-weekly. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'll say that.
Okay.
I don't know. Brain bad sometimes.
It do be being bad.
Sometimes not want to record.
Yeah, well, we're going to record. It's too much fun to not be doing. But yeah.
You know what I kind of want to do?
What?
I kind of want to get back to streaming.
Oh, you're right. We do need to get back to streaming. Shit, you're right. That's 100% we need to get back to streaming. I'm like ready. I can't like play games like crazy, you know, yet, but I can like sit down and play an RPG or like do a little bit of some arcade games and like, yeah. So yeah, that's the reason we have it is because I can't play anything. So yeah, we need to start streaming again.
I've got that dock for my Steam Deck, so we can also do like Steam Deck pretty easy.
Oh, that'd be so good. That'd be so good.
And like, I've got just all the emulation stuff.
Yes.
On. Although I still am having a hard time figuring out doing two-player stuff on that. I don't know if it's an 8-bit do thing or Steam Deck thing or an emulation station thing or what, but
we'll figure it out.
Still having some trouble with that.
Nothing else we can play. That fucking awesome Ninja Turtles game I didn't even get to talk about.
Oh my god, yes. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so that's our episode this time. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for sticking with us, even though we'd sometimes go on hiatus due to the worst year ever continuing to be the worst year ever. And I hope that you will join us next time, because we're going to have some more cool stuff to talk about. I guarantee it. And
I just want to say before we close out that it has been... like pretty objectively probably the worst year of my life.
Yeah.
But the Discord, like our Discord has been one of like the best parts of the year.
Same.
And I'm thankful for all of you, especially those of you that are in the Discord and for making it just a cool, very like chill, welcoming place for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's just been fun, and I think like the Secret Santa thing that we've done this year has been really nice and cozy, and
yeah.
I don't know. I just love our Discord.
Me too.
My dog is throwing shit around.
me also love the Discord and everybody in there, and if you want to join it, you better act your fucking best, because I will guard that place with my life. It's like yes. It is a very special.
It must stay pure and holy.
Yeah, it's a very special place in our Christian Discord server, and we must keep it pure. Anyway, if you'd like to join it, you can find a link at our website. Maybe we'll be streaming soon. You can follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/pocketoid. Nothing else to talk about. I guess that's all. Oh, we want to say thank you to the folks who let us use their music for our intro and outro. Our intro is Time Trials by Hyper Potions, and our outro is Hut by the River by Sound Market. You can go check out their music in our links on our show post, on our website at pocketoypodcast.com. Once again, that's the show. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you guys next time.
Okay, love you, bye.